The next case to be heard is number 2014-1771, Musto versus Lorain County Board of Revision. The appellant has waived argument, and Mr. Kilroy will appear for the county, changing sides of the room here.
Give me a second.
Sure.
Shift gears here.
Mr. Kilroy.
Yes. This case involves the valuation of a single-family home with horse-raising facilities in Columbia Township. And the property owner presented an owner's opinion of value prepared by their legal counsel, a pro forma, as well as a photocopy of a bank appraisal that had been prepared some 3 years previously without the appraiser being present. The Board of Revision denied the complaint for insufficient evidence. And the case law is well settled that a document prepared by the lawyer for the property owner is not sufficient evidence, nor is an appraisal for the wrong tax year and an appraisal where the expert doesn't testify. So the property owner appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, and on the morning of the hearing, the purported witness for the property owner didn't show up at the Board of Tax Appeals. The property owner complains that they haven't had a chance to present evidence. I would suggest they had two chances to present evidence. One was at the Board of Revision, where they have an affirmative duty under Revised Code 5715.19G. A complainant shall provide to the Board of Revision all information or evidence within the complainant's knowledge or possession that affects the real property that is subject of the complaint.
But what they were offering, what were they offering at the BTA? A new appraisal, or
at the BTA, they were going to offer a new appraisal and testimony by the appraiser.
Did they actually tender an appraisal report? And
yes, they did. Okay. A written appraisal report was tendered. Wasn't able to be authenticated, or I wasn't able to ask questions of the author.
But had the BTA granted a continuance, that might have occurred, right?
It could have. I mean, that's speculation. The witness might not have shown up again. I don't know what would have happened. But in the briefs and statements by the appellant, they refer to asking the matter to be continued for an hour or so. But actually, the transcript shows that the request for the continuance, Mr. Nowak, the attorney for the property owner, I quote, "I would make a motion that we continue this hearing to a later date and time." So the county attorney, with some expense and budgeting of time, had made the trip from Lorain to Columbus on the scheduled day, was prepared to go, and the Board of Tax Appeals determined in its discretion that it was unfair to try to require the county to go back at a later date and time.
So the county opposed the continuance, and the BTA denied the continuance then?
That's correct. The county opposed the continuance. There's ample notice of the time and place of the hearing, and the counsel for the property owner is one of the most experienced law firms and tax matters in the state. They know how things work. They know what floor the hearing's on, and they know how to handle expert witnesses. Second, the property owner failed to show good cause why it should get a continuance. The transcript, page 9, lines 11 and 12, Mr. Nowak, quote, "At this point in time, I do not know for sure why she is running late." So, not knowing is the negation of showing good cause. It's just saying, I don't know. And saying, I don't know, does not establish good cause. Thirdly, I think that any judicial body or quasi-judicial body...
Well, my recollection was that the appellant was arguing here that this appraiser was on the way.
He argued that he didn't know why she was late, and he also argued in the briefs that she was on the way.
But you're saying the record doesn't demonstrate that?
I would say the record doesn't demonstrate that, but also that we don't know what it meant. He offered arguments that maybe there was a medical emergency, maybe there was a lack of transportation, maybe their car broke down. Well, if any of those happened, we didn't know if the witness was going to show up at all. So on the way was from, you know, the very northern part of the state, could take on a lot of meanings. We don't really know. But arguably, you know, he argues that he was asking just to continue to noon, even though that contradicts what's in the transcript. Is it reasonable to convene a hearing at noon? I don't. Most people schedule their lunch for noon. The court reporter certainly would be entitled to go to lunch at noon. So he's really, you know, asking probably 1 or 1:30 at the very most charitable reading of that to their side. And, you know...
Let me pose a hypothetical to you, because I, you know, you're familiar with the facts of this record, but let me hypothesize. Let's say a hearing were scheduled at the BTA for 9 a.m., and an appraiser is scheduled to show up, and the appellant's appraiser doesn't show up, and finally there's communication toward 10 o'clock. Oh, I went to the wrong place, or my car broke down. I'll be there by noon. And the appellant asks for a continuance until noon. Would it be an abuse of discretion on the understanding that the appraiser can show up that same day that the hearing was scheduled for? Would it, under those circumstances, be an abuse of discretion or not?
I think abuse of discretion would be an overstatement. I think it would fall within the discretion of the judicial body to weigh the circumstances of why the person wasn't there, when they were likely to show up, versus the inconvenience to the judicial body and their staff, as well as the county government people who were there on time when they were supposed to be, to force them to wait the whole day. You know, it would have shifted from a morning hearing to really something taking up a whole day, which is a significant difference. And I think it's discretionary. I think that either way it was decided. I think if they said, we're going to give them, under the hypothetical you presented, which is not in the record, we're going to give them till noon, I don't think that would have been an abuse of discretion to do it. Likewise, I don't think it's an abuse of discretion to deny it. I think it was solidly within the discretion of the judicial body to control its own docket, to require good cause to be shown, and to weigh the facts and circumstances of why somebody's not there.
Was this a case there's also an issue about, was it your participation as a BOR delegate and
that's
attorney?
That's correct.
Okay, what, would you address that?
And again, I would go to the record, and Mr. Nowak, in his brief, says that I should have been disqualified from representing the county. But if you go to the transcript, page 11, lines 10 to 13, Mr. Nowak, just to be clear, There was not a motion to disqualify. There was just noting an objection pursuant to the record. So I don't know what that really was. It was something less than a motion to disqualify. Presumably, he doesn't like to have me opposing him and would rather have somebody else there. But be that as it may, to clarify my status, I am employed by the Lorain County Auditor. My salary is paid by the Lorain County Auditor. One of my primary duties is I'm designated to sit on the Board of Revision in place of the Lorain County Auditor, which is specifically allowed by statute. Okay. For the past 3 years or more, I've also been doing legal representation. I've been a licensed attorney since 1978, in good standing at all times. And I represent the Board of Revision and the Lorain County Auditor. I take the oath to be designated a assistant county prosecutor, but the only duties I have as an assistant county prosecutor are representing the auditor and the Lorain County Board of Revision.
You mentioned a statute. Does that statute specifically authorize the dual function that's being complained of here, of representing the Board of Revision while also having been a delegate?
Well, I think that my license to practice law entitles me to represent clients in any body, and if there's nothing that shows that I can't, then I'm allowed to, as a general rule. There's the conflict of interest issues that have been discussed. It's a novel role. There's not very many licensed lawyers on the staff of county auditors. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one, but
does the prosecutor's office in Lorain County also have people who represent the Board of Revision or not?
In cases, some cases, the auditor and the majority of the Board of Revision and the auditor have a different view of the case. And so on appeal, for example, if the auditor's value is $100,000 and mm-hmm. the property owner is seeking $50,000, and the board goes to $75,000. In those cases, the prosecutor's office will appoint another attorney to represent the Board of Revision, and I would represent the auditor.
Okay. But otherwise?
Otherwise, I do all the cases. And I don't do any other duties at the prosecutor's office, and none whatsoever. I don't do any civil cases. I don't do any criminal cases, only the tax cases involving the auditor and the Board of Revision. At the auditor's office, I don't sit in the budget commission. I don't hire and fire. I do the Board of Revision, and I do the Board of Tax Appeals work.
Okay.
And Mr. Nowak raised that a statute that prohibits somebody that is in a judicial role or a quasi-judicial, a neutral quasi-judicial role, from then prohibiting from representing one of the parties that had been before them. Mm-hmm. And it goes to arbitrators. You can't be an arbitrator and then represent one of the parties as a private attorney. You can't be a judge and then go represent one of the parties that was before you. You can't be a special commissioner and go and represent international paper next week. You know, that's what that goes to. Now, at all times, on the Board of Revision, I sit in place of the county auditor, and I take his role as a member of the Board of Revision. At all times with the Board of Tax Appeal, I represent the county auditor and the Board of Revision. There's no switching sides. I get the same pay. I represent the same interests. I argue the same cause. The Board of Revision is not a neutral body. It's designed by statute as an administrative body. It's the treasurer, the president of the Board of Commissioners, and the auditor. All county government hearing cases involving the county government taxation, nobody would think it's a neutral body. So the statute cited by my opponents does not apply.
Okay.
I have nothing further.
Okay, Mr. Kilroy. This case also will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.